Thank you. Hi, my name is Tara, alcoholic addict. I'm really nervous about doing this chair, so I just want to get that out there. So hopefully I don't feel like that in a little while. It's quite difficult to fit my whole life in 15 minutes, but I'll kind of give you an overview. I've always looked outside of myself from being a small child for things to make me feel okay about being me. Did a lot of fantasy, shoplifting, that kind of stuff before I found drugs and alcohol. And when I did find them, they worked. They took me out of myself. They made me feel okay, and I used and drank to the max. I've never been a social drinker, social user. I've always been antisocial, I suppose. I'm also going to do my best not to swear, because I do swear a lot, and I'm going to try not to swear, but I'm sure they'll beat me out at the end. But, so I found drugs and alcohol at 13. I was forever getting sent home from school, drunk, high, stoned, whatever. I come from an alcoholic background and learned from a very early age, and this is not why I'm an addict, this is just how it was, to, if things were going wrong, have a drink, have a pill. There's always something that will take it away, and that's what I learned, and like I say, it did for a while. I left home at 16 because there was a lot of abuse, and I couldn't hack it, and I moved out, left home. Done all the geographicals, you know, if I get away from that group of friends or that postcode or whatever, then I'll be okay. And then I found myself pregnant at 18, and I thought that'll be the thing, I'll sort myself out, I'll get myself together, you know, and everything will be all right. And being pregnant wasn't enough. It made me cut down. I suppose that's guilt, but it didn't make me stop. And then I had my little girl when I was 19. When I was 20, she got really, really ill, and when I was 21, she died. And that, I used to say that was the reason I went really mental, but it wasn't. I would say it was a catalyst, you know. It was always in me and to go mental, and I really did go mental. I didn't care what happened to me. I would get myself in situations that I shouldn't get myself in, that were not a safe situation for me to be in. People would come round with little medicine pills in little medicine bottles with no label on, and I was quite good at saying what they were without a label, and if I didn't know, I'd just tell you, give me some, I'll take them and see what happens. And that's crazy behaviour, that is proper crazy behaviour, because I might not have been sat here because of that, you know. I've had a lot of suicide attempts in my life as well. I ended up in a mental hospital for about a year, and it was actually the safest I ever felt in my life, and that sounds really bizarre, but I was told when to get up, I was told what to eat, I was told here's your medication, and it was okay, and I felt kind of protected. Which is quite bizarre, but you know that's the truth. I carried on moving around, still not finding the thing, that the area that made me sort myself out, or the thing, and I found myself pregnant again, had a little boy, and it was a really destructive relationship, so I moved away. And then I kind of had a little bit of control over everything because I was with him, and he would see what I was doing, and I didn't want to be too bad. So when I left him, it was just like, whoo. So I used to take my son to the park at like lunchtime with my drink and my drugs, and let him play on the slide and all that, and sit there drinking and puffing and taking whatever, and just think, you know, I'm an all right mother because he's in the park, you know, and that's, you know, that's not right, is it, you know. And I used and drank for two-thirds of my life. I didn't know any other way. I couldn't imagine going through life situations without some kind of chemical crutch. Just couldn't imagine it. But I hit my rock bottom. My son had turned violent. I was having blackouts all the time, and he ended up going into care. And part of when he went, because I thought he'd gone to school and social services phoned me up and they said, you know, he's presented at social services and he doesn't want to come home. And part of me was like, oh my God, that's really bad. What am I going to do? And the other part of me was like, fuck it. Sorry, swore. Yeah, and the other part of me was like, well, I can do what I like. I didn't have any set routine then because I was making meals for him and all that kind of stuff and shopping and washing clothes. And I didn't have to do any of that and I didn't. I stopped going out the house. I became really paranoid. I couldn't answer the telephone. I couldn't answer the door. I stopped eating. And I ended up sitting in the same clothes for weeks at a time. Couldn't do my teeth. Couldn't wash. Had my drugs, my drink, my remote control and two buckets because I couldn't even make it to the loo at the end. And my flat is not big, trust. You know, it was horrible. I didn't open the curtains. I didn't connect with anybody. It was just terrible. And I woke up one day and I realised, I this isn't working. I can't do this anymore. It's not holding everything down. For a while, it was holding things down and it wasn't holding things down. It was just all coming up. And so I phoned the helpline of the mothership. And I don't remember much of the conversation, but I do remember them saying to me, tell me where you are and we'll send someone round. And I'm like, no, you can't do that. It's supposed to be anonymous, you know. I can't have people knowing where I live, you know. What was I talking about, you know? My life was over and I was bothered about people knowing where I lived and all that kind of stuff. So I went to my first meeting, which was quite local to me, and I decided that it wouldn't be a good idea to have a drink before I went into the meeting. So I sat on my hands all day and I hadn't had a drink, and I went in there and I couldn't hear anything because I was like the old priest in Father Ted, the one that sits in the armchair going, drink, drink, because that's all that was in my head was, when I get home, I can have a drink. And when I got home, I did. And I would drink it, and I'd drink it that quick that I'd puke it back up. And then by the end of the night, that was all that was left. So I'm ashamed to say it, but I would drink it again. Horrible situation to be in. I'd been working with the mental health team, and I asked them for some help. And they said to me, we'll get you into a detox, but there's a 5-month waiting list. Don't drink or use any more than you do. That was tough. Because part of me was like, well, does it really matter? Are you going to a detox? And the other part of me was like, well, you don't know how this is going to be, because I've never been to detox or anything before, so I didn't know how it was going to be. And I thought, you know, if I take more, is it going to make it more difficult? I really didn't know. So I really tried my hardest not to go to the max with it all. And the day before I went into detox was actually my belly button birthday. And I'd already got some wine and stuff to have a drink before going into detox. And I phoned my friend up and I said to her, look, you know, can I bring this bottle of wine up? And I want to have a drink with you because it's going to be my last drink. And I hope it's going to be my last drink. And I don't want to have to drink anymore, so I'm going into detox. That's what I did. I did a month of detox. I did 9 months of treatment, which was fantastic in some levels, hard in some levels. Sometimes I'd come out of there feeling like I'd had an emotional post-mortem. You know, I felt kind of inside out and I was really raw and stuff. But all in all, it was the toughest thing I've ever had to do, but I've got the most out of it. And I'm coming up for free in a few weeks, which is, for me, it just blows me away all the time. Where I'm at now is I still have a difficult relationship with my son. He doesn't live in London. He's in trouble a lot. That's his stuff. He's 16, so he's got to deal with that. I do still do a lot of meetings. I've just finished my first year of full-time college, which has just been amazing. It's amazing I've still got brain cells that can learn stuff, you know. I've got things out of this that I didn't have before, like self-esteem, self-respect. I try my best to be a decent person in society. I'm a human being, so I do make mistakes, but I'm actually able to say, you know, I made a mistake, rather than, look what you made me do, which is what I used to do. Like what you made me do. I do service as well, because service is really important. It was drummed into us in rehab. Also, my sponsor did tell me about service at the beginning, because had people not done service before I came into the rooms, I don't know where I'd be at. When I came into the rooms, I had to accept a few things. I had to accept that I had a problem. And I also, the biggest one was to actually accept that I deserved a clean and sober life and that I deserved a different way of life. I didn't feel that when I came in, so that took a bit of time to get there. I try and speak to an alcoholic or an addict on the phone every day if I don't go to a meeting, because we understand our own heads. You know, if I say to my best friend who's not one of us, my head's going, she's like, Tara, what does that mean? I come in here and go, my head's going, and everyone goes, because we all know, you know. I'm all right now, actually. I could do the longer chair. No, I'm joking. I don't want to bring that one on. But, yeah, if anyone's new around, we've all been a newcomer. We've all found it really difficult to come in, but we've done it. We've come in, and it takes work, and it does take work, but, you know, it takes a lot of work going out there and being out there and being in the madness and all that obsessing about where am I going to get the money, how am I going to get that, what am I going to do to... It's just nuts. It's fantastic not waking up with a cotton wool head and being able to make decisions and being able to be present for people. I was never present. I might have been sat in a chair in the same room as, but I was not present. I can be present today, and I've got a lot of gratitude for what I have today. It's fantastic. So connect with other people, get telephone numbers if you're new, and call people, and if you're struggling, ask for help. I know it's difficult, but just do it. It saves your life. This is life or death shit. I'll leave it there. Thank you.
Literature.
I'm Rachel.
Hi, Rachel.
We've got a wide selection of items which are available. I'll be in that room during the break. There are lights on, and also we give them.